When I was in high school, I was the lead of the play called Stardust my senior year. I was a National Honor Society member, and I sang in the choir. When I graduated in 1997, my future was so bright that shades couldn't shield it. I successfully completed a year at Bloomsburg University, and then my second year, things started to change. I started to become very confused and sad. It got so intense so quickly that it came to the point where I couldn't cross the street by myself because I forgot what to do. I also, at this time, had a lot of trouble communicating. I would want to say, I'm going to the movie theater, for example, but instead, I would substitute a word because I couldn't find the word theater. So I want to go to the movie playground. And it became quite confusing, obviously, for my roommates to understand what I was saying. And I just thought to myself, I hope I have a physical illness. I hope something's wrong physically that's making this confusion. Because I did not want to be judged. I did not want to be made fun of. I didn't want to have a mental health condition. So this went on, and I realized if I were to continue on this path, not only would I fail out of college, but I also might hurt myself, or worse, kill myself. So I hospitalized myself, I guess, for lack of a better word. I admitted myself to a psychiatric unit in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. When I got there, I was so hell-bent still on this notion that I wasn't actually mentally ill that the nurse, who was so kind, she sat down with me, and she literally took out a textbook and read all these symptoms of what I was diagnosed with, which was major depressive disorder. I still didn't believe her. I realized I had all those symptoms. But I think it was 2 or 3 days later where I started to accept that, yeah, maybe she was right. Maybe that's what's going on. So after that 8-day stay in the hospital, I returned home to my parents' house back in that small town in Pennsylvania I grew up in where everyone knows your name and everyone knows your business. And, you know, it was just earth-shattered that I was not back at school. My mom did not give up on me. I don't know what other parents would do when your child comes home, a totally different person. But wow, my family was gracious. And my mom in particular said, we're getting our Mary back. And she signed me up for counseling services at the Community Counseling Center in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. So this was a day program she signed me up for. So lucky me, I woke up every day and she drove me to Wilkes-Barre to go to this program where we met in the morning with other people who were suffering from mental health conditions. And throughout the day, we would have experience group therapy, art therapy, and one-on-one therapy here and there. Each day was very structured because a lot of us didn't quite have a handle on what was going on in the real world. So we would start our mornings in what we called feelings check. So we would get to the center, we'd get in a room, and we were all alone. And by alone, I mean the therapists weren't there yet. So it was a great moment because you can say whatever you want because the therapists aren't in the room. So in group therapy, our task was to challenge one another with a task or a goal to complete, hopefully on a daily basis. When I came home, it came out in group therapy that what I did when I went home every day, because we were there every day from 8 to 3, and I was there for 6 months. But every day at 3 p.m., my mom would pick me up. It was quite simple. I went home, I saw the couch, I sat on it, I watched TV, I fell asleep, and then woke up the next day, and my mom took me back. So once the group found that out, they weren't pleased, and my goal was to stay off the couch. That's it. Stay off the couch. We don't care what you do. You just don't go to the couch, and you'll be fine. So I went home, Yeah, it's true. I went home. I sat on that couch. I sat on it. I laid on it. I watched TV. I kicked back. I went to sleep, and I was like, whatever, and woke up the next day. And then I found myself in feelings check with a lot of feelings and no sympathy. So I told these people, yeah, I sat on the couch last night. They were so upset, and I was like, okay. And they totally ratted me out when the therapist came in for group therapy. Blah, blah, blah. So this went on for a few days. I was a slow learner back then, apparently, and I would come in every morning and say, yeah, I sat on the couch. You know, just what every parent wants is a daughter who her main goal every day is to not sit on the couch. But that was what I was working with, and that was real to me. The day I came into feelings check and I said I did not sit on that couch, it was like winning an Oscar. There were screams, and I got hugged, and I was like, what is happening? It was the first time I felt good about myself in a very long time. And I wanted to feel that again. So I stayed off the couch another day. And then as time went on, I had more goals that the group presented. And they got loftier, and I had a lot of victories. So that was good. I also hung out with these people outside of the community counseling center. On weekends, we would go out and we'd go for dinner or for coffee, and we would just be people. I was learning how to be a person again, how to talk to people, how to listen, and it was great. We didn't talk about therapy at all. We just hung out, and then one day, back to work or therapy. At this time, my parents were uber concerned that I wasn't able to go outside by myself. So I had been getting dropped off at community counseling services, walking in every day, talk, 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 hang out, work on myself, try to get better, and then I'd go home and I would not leave the house. If we had to go anywhere, I needed to be with someone. And I'm not quite sure why I was so agoraphobic, for lack of a better word, but I had extreme anxiety whenever I was out in public by myself. So my mom hired a private behavioral therapist named Ron Simon. And I saw him once a week, and he ended up being my best friend. He was probably my worst enemy, probably the best enemy a girl can have when she doesn't want to go outside by herself, yet quite a good behavioral therapist. And he tricked me. He said, okay, your goal now, at the end of day program, you're going to walk down the street a few blocks by yourself, and you're going to go to the library. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's easy. I'll just tell him I went to the library. You know, my mom will cover for me. Like, this is insane. I'm not walking anywhere by myself. No way. And he said, I need you to get a library card to show me. Oh, so smart. And get a library card, and here's a list. And he gave me a list of 6 books, and he said, you got to find out who wrote it, who published it, when it was published. And I was like, man, this is really, really smart. I'm not getting out of this one. So that first day, I had my little list, and I ended program, and my mother wasn't there to pick me up. I had to walk down the street. If I wanted to go home, I had to end up at that library at some point. So I walked. I walked there, and oh my goodness, I felt like I was suffocating. I was so anxious. It was a very busy part of the city, but all I could hear was my heartbeat. That's all I could hear. And I just stared straight ahead, and I walked. When I got in there, I asked the librarian for an application, and at this time, I really hadn't talked to anyone who didn't know I was suffering from mental health conditions, so I didn't quite know if I was making sense. So it was an interesting exchange. But she was so kind and ended up understanding what I needed. And I filled out the application. And that was a struggle in itself because some of the questions I was having trouble thinking of the right words to put on the application. But we got through that. And then I found all the books I needed. And wow, by the next few weeks, I knew that library like the back of my hand. So Ron was satisfied. that's the therapist. He said, well, now you have to go down more streets to Boscov's, to their diner, and have a cup of coffee and wait for your parents there. So now I had a lot of work. I had to go from, do you believe this? I had to go from day program all day talking about my feelings and, you know, facing people who had things for me to do every day. Then I had to go to the library by myself and then look around and talk to people. And now you want me to go down the street and talk to another person? What is happening? So I was very scared, but I did it because I wanted to get back home, essentially. But then months went by, and I didn't want to leave that lunch counter. I loved talking to the servers at the Boscov's Diner. It was fun. We talked about life, and the regulars were great. And so that ended up being a good thing, too. So I guess in the long run, Ron wasn't that bad of a guy. But that happened. So then after all this work with the group, going to see Ron and tackling these other components of mental health, because when you have a mental health condition, you get a diagnosis, but if it's sometimes you just have a little bit of symptoms of other things tied into that that aren't being addressed because your main diagnosis is being addressed. So, I finally graduated from the day program. So on my last day, there was a woman, and in the beginning of the program, I saw her my first day, and she was talking to herself and walking around talking to herself, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't belong here. This place is for crazy people. I don't belong here. And that was my first day at day program. And this was my last day, and she came over to me, and she said, you know what? I'm so happy for you. I said, yeah, thanks. And she said, I thought you were the craziest person when you walked in this door. It was such a moment of self-awareness, because she was right. I was not in a good state when I came in that program, and it just solidified, like, wow, you did something good. Like, you've come a long way. She no longer thinks you're crazy, and, you know, you might not be. So there's always good news. I wish I could say that was my experience with the mental health condition, but in 2000, I was re-diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I have been battling that and winning since 2000. Thank you. Thanks. It's important to stay well, so some of the things I do, I still see a cognitive behavioral therapist twice a month. I take medication every morning and every night. I exercise daily to try to melt the anxiety away. There's a lot of things I do on a daily basis that I find to be helpful. I have to say that the friends, because those people at group therapy did become my friends, those friends, Ron, my parents, my mom especially, they did a great job setting the foundation for my current support system. And a lot of them are here tonight, and those are my very good friends, still my mom, luckily, and my family members. My psychiatrist, my therapist, who actually texted me today to wish me good luck, so I think that's a sign of a good therapist, and the love of my life. So I'm in a good place, and I'm feel very lucky to be so supported.